than I thought, but wouldn't guarantee the outcome. I talked with Harold Bennett just a little while ago, and he's at home doing well, and he certainly values our prayers, and we thank God for what he's done for Harold, and he's feeling good, and he looks forward to renewed strength and better health. So continue to remember our brother Harold Bennett. And I'd like for us to tonight to spend a little time together thinking about something that I think is on our minds quite frequently. Seems like everybody wants to be happy, but a lot of times don't know where to find happiness. Don't really know what they're looking for to bring happiness. And I don't know if you ever asked yourself the question, but am I really happy? Am I really happy? Of course, my own attitude toward that, I'm happy in the Lord. I'm satisfied with everything he's done. I'm satisfied with what I know regarding my status as a believer in the Lord Jesus. I'm happy with all of that. And so I thought the Psalms would help. It helped me. I trust it'll help you a little. Tonight, let's look in the book of Psalms, Psalm 1. Just a few short verses, six verses, but I think one of the things that's so appealing to me from the Psalms, as you read through the Psalms and you acquaint yourself with the writer, it comes out of human experience so often. It's what somebody has already experienced. And it has a wonderful way, the Spirit of God gives you the setting of what the person experienced, the results of what that person found. Emotions, you read about a lot of stirring of emotion, the desires of the heart, suffering, a lot of suffering brought to our attention in the book of Psalms. It was a result of circumstances that they passed through. And it seems like, and sometimes you're pretty well persuaded of this, it was necessary for that person to have that experience if he was going to really find happiness and joy in the Lord. So the end result, sometimes it's worth the experience. There's a lot to say about creation. We've been reminded about that in some of the ministry we've been hearing lately. Seems like most people think about the Psalms as being primarily Jewish and suited to people under the law, but there's a lot of spiritual truth in the book of Psalms that it relates to human Christian experience. How many times have you savored the sweetness of Psalm 23? The Lord is my shepherd. My shepherd. Oh, the great shepherd of the sheep is brought to our attention. So let's read these six verses and then we'll have some thoughts. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. And shall we just look to the Lord again in a word of prayer? Our Father in heaven, we're so thankful that we are confident that we're in the family of God. We are assured that you are our Heavenly Father. We're assured that you provided a way for us to be brought into this wonderful, divine, spiritual relationship with thee. Oh, Lord, thank you for making it very real to our hearts that we are children of God. We're in the family of God. Today has been a delightful Lord's Day spent with other believers, fellowship together, fellowship around the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Word has been opened and read and studied and proclaimed, and it's been blessing. We thank thee for it. Grant each one of us tonight shall just reflect upon how happy we are in the Lord and what it means to know thee, Lord. The things that you provided that indeed have brought such deep satisfaction to our soul. Bless each one of us, we pray thee, to the end that this time together will be one of deep reflection upon your goodness and mercy to us, and all the joy and the peace that you provided as we walk through this pilgrim pathway. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask this with thanksgiving. Amen. Well, someone has said recently, and we've been having a lot of things that were political that we've been examining and listening to, but I've heard some things said that I think were worth reflecting upon. Why are there so many unhappy people in a land like ours? This is the land of the what? Brave and free, and we talk about freedom. We talk about what we are as believers in a form of government that has provided us with security and so many other things. But sometimes we find out that there are people that say they are enjoying these cherished rights, but they ain't very happy. They don't seem to be very happy. They haven't found something. There's something in their life that is missing. It seems like I've heard so much ministry focused on this. Why is that? Why is this thing that people say they really want, and yet they can't seem to arrive at a place where they say, yes, I am really happy. Blessed is the man. And I will remind you that when you think about blessed, you think about happiness. 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 I'm a happy soul. Has to be some reason for that. You just can't say, well, I'm happy. Could you tell me what it is that gives you that assurance that really deep down you're happy? Well, I'm happy because of a reason. Something has happened in my life. I really feel like everyone is pursuing what they feel like will ultimately bring happiness and satisfaction to their souls. They may be going in the wrong direction. They may not even be near getting on the right track. But they're searching. They're looking. Some of them sometimes have become so embittered because of the circumstances in life that you say to yourself, I don't believe they'll ever find it. Seems like they've gone so far. Life has left its mark upon them. the bitterness, the world that they live in. It's taken its toll. And it's robbed them. So many people lack any spirit of tenderness in their life. Have you detected that? It seems like the old world we live in today is just tough. And it gets tougher. And people get harder. And things become more violent. Paul says the last days would be distressing times. Times in which people will begin to feel the pressure like never before of living in a world that is under the curse of God. A world that is dominated by one that is called the God of this world, who is the enemy of God and the enemy of man. That's the world we're living in. And it's not an easy place. It's not an easy place without some help from God to live in this world. I think when that comes to my mind, I think of so many people that I know, sometimes in our own family, and they don't know the Lord. And do you ever say this? How in the world can they make it? How can they go through another day? Man, when I see what's happening in their lives, when I see what's happening all around them, I see the despair that's written upon the faces of people in the world. I hear people talking about despair, discouraged. I'm discouraged. I'm depressed. Circumstances in life have taken its toll upon me. It's not like that song that's been sung so many times, Home, Home on the Range, where never is heard a discouraging word. I tell you what, I don't hear that song very often, but there are a lot of discouraging words around. And if you don't know the Lord, and if you don't have the Spirit of God indwelling you and enlightening you to the truth that is found in the Word of God, it's not going to be a very happy experience. I think about, and this is jumping ahead a little, about the ungodly are not so. Not so. That's the watchword. You think about a person that goes through a whole lifetime and he's pursuing happiness. All the things that are presented today, you're bombarded with stuff that's supposed to make you happy, satisfy you. And you know it's not going to be found. It's empty. It's a vain thing. Solomon, when he writes about all of this and what's in the world and all the things he tried, and he says, vanity of vanity. Life without God is a vain, empty thing. Being a human being. Being a human being. With all of the expectations that God can have from each one of our lives, to realize it'll never be realized unless you trust Him. Unless you discover that divine plan and purpose of God, not God's will that any should perish. Boy, you hang on that sometimes. You think of somebody that you've witnessed to. You think about somebody you love and you say, well, I know one thing for sure, it's not God's will that they perish in their sin. I said this before, but I've heard it said over and over by someone I know. And they have a burning desire in their heart, as so many of us do, that every member of their family, they could say with assurance, I know that they have trusted Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as their Lord and Savior. But this person has said so many times, I cannot bear the thought of having born children. A child. I was responsible for the birth of that child. and that child will live a life here from the face of the earth and will die and spend eternity separated from God. That wasn't the plan and purposes of God. God forbid. But you know, a thought like that can just bring such a sense of despair to your mind when you think about it. You don't want it to happen. And I'm reminded that there are those that are praying daily. And apart from being able to bow the knee and to call upon God and say, "Oh God, I'm desperate. I'm desperate." And it just has that way of drawing you closer to the Lord. He just seems to say, "Come a little bit closer. You'll find a little more comfort right here. I'll have you down by those quiet waters, refreshing yourself and having your soul restored, because you belong to me." And there again, the thought will come back, "Not God's will that any should perish." Blessed is that man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. I feel a sense of, you know, taking advantage of people, exploiting people is something that we reject that. We don't like that. Especially when those people are weak and sometimes unable. They don't have the discernment. They don't understand what's happening. And you see that person being exploited and taken advantage of. Do you know that's what Satan's doing to those that will not believe? It says, "For the God of this world will blind the mind of those who will not believe," that haven't believed. They haven't believed the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, that light might shine into their souls. There are people in spiritual darkness today, and Satan is keeping them there. I resent it. I resent it. I resent it. I don't want him to take advantage of my friend, that loved one of mine. I resent it. What am I going to do about it? I'm going to say, "Lord, have mercy." I'm going to say, "Lord, help me to help them any way I can to find the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's the only one that can remedy that problem." It's God's plans and purposes that they might know him, that they might draw nigh unto him, and he draws nigh unto them. So here we have a painful thought coming into our minds. I don't want to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. I don't even want that to become a part of my life, my being. I don't want to accommodate the one that has caused so much pain and suffering and brought a curse upon all of mankind and everything that's ever been created by God. I don't want to accommodate him in any way. It says, "Submit yourself unto the Lord. Resist the devil and he will flee from you." You know, have you wanted something delightful to happen in your life and realized that you had accomplished and done something? Submit yourself wholly unto that direction that comes from God for your life, and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Does it bring anything in the way of satisfaction to your heart that you have resisted him? Resisted him. I remember telling a young lady that one time, and she'd been through some awful experiences. And she said, "What was that you said? I can resist the devil? Man, he's powerful. He's powerful." She acknowledged it. "He's powerful." "Yes, I know he's powerful. I know he's powerful." So we put on the whole armor of God, so we might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. I'll tell you what, brother and sister in Christ, he's got power. But greater is he that is in you and me than he that is in this world. We have a Savior, and he has conquered death and sin. He's provided for us that place not the place where we walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But we are delighting in what God has provided, in a great, wonderful salvation that's found in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 37, verse 4. You just savor the sweetness of something like this. Delight thyself in the Lord. He will give you the desires of your heart. Delight thyself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Now, I'll tell you what I discovered in that, because you begin to examine that, and you would have to say, I better examine the desires of my heart. I better be sure that what's in the heart is in tune with the mind and the will of God, because I want to do the will of God in my life. You know, being a human being and living here upon the face of the earth, most of us have experienced some part of our life separated from God. We didn't know God. We had no peace, no joy in our souls. That's quite an experience, isn't it? You never get a perspective on this until you get saved. You know, I am persuaded that unsaved people do not look upon their lives and know just how miserable they are, how exploitable they are, how they're taken advantage of every day. They should resent it. Thank God, as we examine this and we say, yes, even if they don't recognize it, I recognize it for them. As a happy man in the Lord, I'm not going to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Seems like a lot of things today are forced upon us, and we're told if we don't believe them, we're not keeping up with the times. I'm reminded that we have a God that changeth not. I'm reminded that what He has said in this book will endure forever. And He hasn't changed. Man is so innovative in his thinking, and so much progress has been made in so many of the experiences of life and studies that are available to mankind in almost any area you want to mention. Science. And the development of so many things that just amaze you. You know, I had an experience a week with my niece and author, writer. And someone gave me a pamphlet that asked me to ask the doctor if it gave me a shot of this particular drug. It was powerful. And I looked and I read the sheet, and you know, it said that that particular substance was a product of rooster's comb. Who in the world would have ever thought to take a rooster's comb, take it into a lab, and start experimenting with it and come up with something that would zap arthritis? Now, that's progress. You've got to admit it, right? And you are thankful for it, and so forth. But, you know, sometimes we end up giving all the credit to mankind. But any true wisdom that man has, it comes from God. And God has allowed all of these things to develop. I don't want to become so hooked up on the counsel of the ungodly, knowing full well that I appreciate what's done in medical science and all these things. Hal Bennett is thankful tonight that he has good doctors and nurses and medication, and a procedure was followed in which he hopes and we pray that he's been taken out of harm's way. They held and before him just a little sample of what his situation was like. He just had a little opening, a small opening for this blood to circulate through his neck. Doctor said something happened, a stroke, something like that. Truly thankful for all these things. I think what bothers us sometimes is that sometimes people that have made great leaps and bounds and knowledge in the world today, it becomes everything to them. And they substituted all of this, the humanist, secular humanism, and what it relies upon. Man can do anything and everything. And we don't need God. Oh, what an awful thought. What an awful thought. Here we would have those that are so wise in the ways and the things of the world, and their counsel is ungodly counsel. Because they're telling us we can do anything. And we don't need God. You know, the Word of God says this, and the Lord Jesus said it, without me you can't do anything for the glory of God. If we're to glorify God, we've got to do it God's way. We've got to do it God's way. And isn't it wonderful to know that He will use us if we make ourselves available to Him, and if we allow Him to control by His Spirit, we as believers, He will use us to bring glory to His name. And we glorify Him. It's not the exaltation of people. We're exalting the Lord. I don't want to walk in the counsel of ungodly. I don't want to listen to men that are supposed to know everything and substitute any part of that for my faith and trust in God. The God that I have trusted can raise the dead. He can heal cancer. He can restore anything that's ever gone wrong in this world we live in. Oh, man thinks he's doing so much. Jesus Christ has gone over and above anything any man can think of. And yet he's not given his rightful place. People are still exalted men. There's only one man that should be given that preeminent place. It is the Son of God. The Son of God. Oh, to see men of wisdom, men that are wise in the ways of this world, and yet their spirit has been submitted to the authority of one higher, a higher authority. They have submitted themselves under the control of one that is the creator of all things, who knows all things. Our Creator. You know, I think when we get down to the end of this, we should really love sinners. Poor people in this world today, poor sinners that don't know the Lord. And brother and sister, you know something they don't know. And you are experiencing a joy and a peace and happiness in your soul, and they don't know it. Doesn't it sometimes just grieve you that I wish I could just open their minds and hearts? You can't do it that way. You can't do it that way. God's going to do it His way. He says, you tell them. You tell them. I'm relying on you. You're my representatives here on the earth. You are now the light of the world. You are lights in this world. Let your light shine. You spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You do what I tell you to do. Now, He did that with His disciples. He entrusted them with that power. They could go out and they could preach to people and they could heal people and they could bless people. And finally, one day, you know what they did? They found out they couldn't do it anymore. You know the man that had the paralytic son and went into the fits and all that and threw himself in the fire? He asked them to deliver his son from that demonic possession. He couldn't do it. Wonder what was wrong. They forgot the source of their power. Without me, you can't do anything for the glory of God. You see, behind all of this, when I trust Him, I become a part of a divine plan. He will use me. He will bless others through me if I do it His way. And so it was with the disciples. His delight is in the law of the Lord. That, of course, has a Jewish connotation in that Israel could be assured that God's blessing would be upon them if they obeyed and did His bidding. And it was so clearly marked out for them what they were supposed to do. Now, the offering of the sacrifices and all of the things that were a part of their being God's people, chosen, not because of their greatness, not because of anything in them, just because they love them. You know, God loves poor sinners. We should love them as well. When you do that, like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Man, what a promise. What a promise. I can't forget what I saw when I was in the military and stationed in the land where a lot of date palms grow. And here's a mighty river, the Euphrates and the Tigris, as they come together and in that delta country down near the Persian Gulf. And just for miles, these date palms on either side of this river. They were planted there by that river for a reason. This is not a place where you get a lot of rainfall. They're desert places. And you see these date palms, and they're always planted near water. Trees planted by rivers of water. You know, everything around, out in the desert, may dry up, blow away. That old date palm with that root way down in the ground, taking in that refreshment from that river. You know, our God has a way of refreshing us if we just stay real close to Him. You know, you plant your roots deep in carrying out the mind and the will of God for your life. It's going to make you fruitful. So you have to just stay there in one place. Yeah, but it's such a blessed place to be in the Lord. And to be in God's will and doing God's mind and will. It's such a blessed place. So rewarding. I'm where God wants me to be. I'm doing what God wants me to do. I think a lot of that is woven into what we have in this picture of the blessed, happy man. I want to be happy. I want to be happy. What does mean being happy mean to you? You know, some people think it just means having a lot of money. I know so many, I've heard of so many people, and I've known a few. Boy, when I retire, man, I'm going to take it easy. I'm just going to do nothing but what I want to do, what comes to mind. I've got enough resources to kind of take care of things, and I'm going to live the good life. You know, some of them were so miserable, they went out looking for a job somewhere. Man, I didn't realize that life was so empty. I needed to do something. I needed to be something. And especially for a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, brother and sister in Christ, don't even think about it. Retiring. Retired what? Man, your light. Let your light shine. Be busy bearing fruit for God. Oh, He can produce fruit even in an old man's life or your old woman's life. You don't have to be just young to bear fruit. No, he can make things happen in lives. But you gotta let him. You gotta let him. You said that's important. The ungodly are not so. That's such a sad, sad thought. Oh, they're like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Have you ever seen that happen? Have you seen those people in that very primitive way in which they're thrashing out the grain and they throw the stuff up in the air and the grain comes back down and the chaff is just blown away? They don't try to go out and get it back. It's worthless. They don't want it. You have a life. A life now, believe me, a life, something God created and put you on the face of the earth. And it's lived here for naught. God's purposes and plans were never realized in that life. Like the chaff that the wind blows away. Gone. How gone. But where? My brother said from this platform today, a man that thought he had everything, lived sumptuously every day, he died. He died. He opened his eyes being in torment. Hey, man, what this is all about hasn't really happened until we die. I've already died in Christ. I have new life in Christ. I've already started living eternal life in Christ. And I'm going to live eternally with him, not so with those that know not the Savior. They're like the chaff that the wind blows away. A life that has been spent in such a worthless fashion, blinded by the God of this world, because they didn't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother, if that ain't sad, I don't know what is. That's sad. Every time I think about this, it seems that I just have to pray for somebody I know that's lost and say, oh, God forbid that it would happen to them. I want to see them get saved. I want to see them know Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the lovely person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I trust they'd do that to every one of us. Every one of us, just to think about it. The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. The way of the ungodly shall perish. They won't stand in the judgment. They won't stand up in that place where judgment is made about what did you do with the Lord Jesus Christ? I didn't accept him as my Savior. Your life and everything about you is like chaff that the wind bloweth away. Sad words, but they're true. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. You missed the plans and purposes of God. You were blinded by the God of this world. Now you spend eternity separated from me. It's such a sad, sad thought. But don't let it rob us of our joy and our peace and our happiness in the Lord. Because God's people are supposed to be the happiest people on the face of this earth. And we are. Amen? Amen. Our Father in heaven, again, we thank thee for the Word of God and for what just reading this little psalm, it generates so many thoughts in our hearts, and we would pray that we would profit from it. It will be a learning experience in which perhaps we'll be thankful like we never have before that we're a happy people. We're happy in the Lord. Our happiness has a basis. It's based upon a relationship with the true and the living God. We're new creatures in Christ Jesus. And we are indeed living and bearing fruit for God in a world that is facing eternity. An eternity without God, without Christ. Oh, our blessed Lord. It's such a sad thought. Every one of us in this room tonight, we know someone. Perhaps we have a loved one.
They don't know the Lord. Lord, we will purpose in our hearts to tell them about Him again and again if we have to, because we don't want them to spend eternity without Him. In His precious and holy name, we give Thee our thanks. Amen.